It seems to me, as I go through this life, and then I see the things around me, I am more and more convinced that the Scriptures are being fulfilled. Time's moving along.
Yes.
The Scripture says that the end would be like it was in the day of Noah.
Yes.
Scripture says in that day that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually.
Yes.
We're moving towards that day where people think that way. We are becoming more and more a secular society. Religious people aren't only seeing that. Just people are starting to see that the masses of the people are going away from religion and are more and more just embracing secular life. Folks, without God, you're in trouble. I'm in trouble, and we're in trouble collectively when we just go as a society into secular, just as a secular society. It changes the dynamics of our world. There was a time in the United States that it would have been impossible for a person that had been in jail to hold a public office. It would have been impossible for an adulterer to have held public office. It would have been impossible for somebody of a low character to have been held a public office, and now it seems like that it's almost a good thing, or they get more votes if they have. And it's because that it's a secular society and not a religious one. It's because people don't see the value of morality anymore. They don't see the value of things, of eternal things. They don't see the value of precious things, of honorable things, of honest things, of those kind of things. They don't see the value of it. I remember back a debate that was taking place between, and I'm not being political here, I'm just telling you as an example. I remember when the first George H.W. Bush, the older Bush, was in a debate with he wasn't president yet, but it was Bill Clinton was running for president. And they were starting to make an issue out of honesty. They was going to make a political issue out of honesty. Because Bush was known as more of an honest person, so they wanted to make the out of honesty. And a man stood up in that debate and made a comment to the effect of, what difference does it make how a person conducts his personal life as long as he's qualified to run the office? I said that, to me, that was a no-brainer. Because to me, if you can't believe what a person says, then what difference does it make what they say? But you know, that was one of the hallmarks of that campaign. It shut up those that would say there has to have some honesty here. What value would it be for a man to say, I take an oath to keep the Constitution of the United States, if he doesn't keep the pledge he made to his wife? Those kind of things. I make that point only to say this. We are fastly going into a secular society. But we can't afford that. Not really. But we can't do anything about the nation. But we don't want it to affect us. Folks, we live in the world. Do you know the things that we gather around us is just secular? There's way too much value put on the things that are around us that's just secular. You can't take it to heaven with you. There's no value really other than what it's used for here in this life. There's no good to it at all. There's no value to it. As we look around us and people gain and get, there's people that will fight for a foot of land. They're disrupted over things, the material things in their life. And you know that the Bible speaks against those kind of things? We as Christians are to look up and put our heart and affection in eternal things. You know, we're just here for a little while. I'm amazed that as I get older, you know, I've had some ambitions and some things I wanted to do in this life. But you know what I'm starting to find out? I'm starting to run up against something. And it's called time. I'm starting to run up against things, and I'll think, well, you know, this would be nice. If I'll start now and I'll do such and such, and I'll think, you know, in 25 years, and then I'll think, in 25 years, I'll be 76 years old if I live. Now, I know to some of you that age, forgive me right now, but right now that's looking old to me. And it's looking like I might not get to hit that age. And when I look at those things, I'm starting to change my mind about things. And my heart's starting to lift up more to the eternal things, because I'm saying there's no time to plant now. There's no time to plant a tree that's not going to bear for 40 years. But I'm not going to see it bear. I don't have the ambitions for long range now, because I'm getting older and I'm seeing less and less. There's more behind me than there's ahead of me. And I'm starting to see that, and it's starting to change. My mind and my heart's starting to lift up, and my ideas are starting to come. I'm seeing a more value over there. Life is truly just a vapor today. It really is. And the things that we accumulate and do you know that it doesn't advantage us that much here in this life? So I want to look at the Scriptures a little bit tonight. With that in mind, let's not put the value on the carnal, the secular things.
Amen.
But let's lift our eyes up to the eternal things. The real valuable things. One Scripture says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven.
Amen.
Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth. And He gave a good reason why not to. Because if you do, you have all the heartaches that is associated with laying up treasures on this earth. There's all the there's thieves that want to steal it. There's rust that corrupts.
Moths
that eats it away. You know, I find that true.
Yeah.
The more I have, the more I got to maintenance. The more I maintenance, the more time it takes out of my life to maintenance the things I have. Folks, we're getting too busy. As a people, we're too busy. I know that there is a legitimate argument to say that my ox is in the ditch. When there's service time and things happen and keeps people out of service. But let me make a little argument with you here tonight. I don't keep oxen so they can't get in the ditch. That's why I don't want any oxen. I have a few oxen in my life. But I, for the most part, don't take on those things. And I know people that take on a lot of them. You get one, you get two, you get 20, you get 40, you get 100. And I guarantee you, one of them's going to be in the ditch on every service. You get busy enough with the cares of life, and there's going to be something that needs to be done during service time. There's a remedy for that, folks. And the remedy is that you don't get those things in your life. There's some place that you have to say, if I do this, it's going to rob from me. It's secular. It's things that we do. There's no wrong on it per se. There's no sin on it per se. But if I follow it long enough and hard enough, it's going to absorb my spirituality. I'm going to be in a carnal world dealing with carnal things, taking care of carnal things, and never being able, always having a reason, always something comes up to keep me from praying like I ought to pray, keep me from being in service like I ought to be in service, witnessing for the Lord the way I ought to be witnessing for the Lord, following what He leads me in. I'm tied up. I'm too busy to do any of those things. It all goes back to whether I went and got that next oxen or not. Whether I went and got that next toy. Unless I went and got myself involved in another business adventure. After another business adventure, I got myself tied up with this one and tied up with that. Lord help us. There's a two-letter word that is so valuable. No. No. I've got to serve the Lord. No. I have in my life, I have grown children that come home. I'm going to tell you the way it's established. My grown children know where Daddy's at on Sunday morning. Plain out. They know if they come home and they want to see me, it'll be in the chapel Sunday morning. It's already established and set. There is no, well, why don't you do it? Why don't you do that? It's been established. It's set. We need to say some no to some things because there is a drive for just secular life, secular things, things that don't benefit, things that don't help. Over in Hebrews, the 13th chapter of Hebrews,
yeah.
In the 12th verse, it says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." That means he was outside the city.
Yeah.
That's valuable. See, Jerusalem was the place. Then and now, there's a conflict over it still yet today, but Jerusalem was the place. But you know Jesus died outside the city?
That's right.
He was, as an inhabitant of the city, he was made the off-scouring, the trash. He was moved outside the city. That's valuable to us because Jesus was moved outside the city.
Right.
That valuable place, but Jesus didn't die there.
No.
He suffered outside the gate.
Cast out.
He was cast out. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. See what that's saying? We're not earthbound. We're not to be earthbound. Jesus was removed out of the city. We're to be removed out of the secular world. We're to be outside of that. Let's therefore go out. We don't have a continuing city. He tried to tell them. I don't know for sure. Maybe this was a prophecy. Within about 7 to 8 years of these words being written, the city of Jerusalem was totally destroyed at the prophecy of the Lord. But this was saying, you're bound up. This was the Hebrew letter. You're bound up to this. Don't be tied to this thing of earth. Don't be tied to this city. This city is made of stones and rocks. And it's not enduring. It's not going to last. It's not going to bear up under you. Folks, we can get ourselves wrapped up into things that they're not eternal. They're not going to hold you. You may say, this will last me for generations. I'm going to tell you, everything we know in this life corrupts and corrodes and it ends up going.
Right.
It'll end up falling. This very chapel, if the Lord bears, or if He holds back, He's coming, this is going to fall too. All the things are going to be changed around here one of these days. It won't last forever. We have no continuing dwelling place, no continuing city, nothing that you can actually anchor yourself to and say, this is going to be here for me. I know this is my place. This is where I'm at. And if it does stay, we're all getting older. We have no continuing city, folks. There's nothing that's solid underneath us on this earth. Are your health good today? Is your health good today? Folks, we don't have a continuing city. Or if you want to say, even this tabernacle, my body, I can't count on it. I ain't going to be able to say that it's going to make it. It's going to endure. I can count on that. But he says, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come.
Praise the Lord.
See, there's something, Lord help us, to get our eyes on.
Amen.
I travel around the country. I go to different congregations. I see people's lives. And over, folks will come up to me and say, I'm so busy. Oh, Brother Marty, I need prayer. I need prayer. I just, it seems like the more I work, the deeper in I go. The more I have to do, I hardly have time for the things I know I should do. I just seem like I'm being swallowed up. Just swallowed up. You know, there's a time to say no. No. Do you know you're better off to serve the Lord? Humbly serve the Lord. You're better off to be in a low place. Even financially, you're better off to be in a place to where you can serve the Lord. Yeah. Than to be tied up with all the cares of this life. And all the things that it brings. I'm telling you the truth. We're getting caught up in this prosperous world, this secular world, all the things that are around it, and no profit or gain. I had a young man say to me, just probably a year or so ago, he was telling me about OU football. Oklahoma University football. Now, in Oklahoma, they make a big deal over their football. It is a big deal out there. OU football. And this young man was telling me, he said, oh, he said, you've never experienced anything until you go into that stadium, 70, 80,000, something like that, he said, 70,000 screaming people. He said, you have never seen anything to compare. He said, it is electric. It is, he said, it's just more than you can tell. You can feel the electricity and the energy and all that going. And I was saying, I imagine you can. It's electric. It's electric. It's powerful. It's driving. Who don't want the, they want the next rush. They want the next thrill, the next electric experience. You know there's a problem with that? We'll tell you what the problem is. When you lay in there looking up into the sky and you've only got moments to be here in this life, there's no electric.
No.
There's no enthusiasm.
No.
There's no hope. And all of that electricity that you felt can't help it. It can't do anything. Because we don't have a continuing city here. We don't have a continuing dwelling place. But we look for one. And for those that look for one, I am convinced that those last moments are electric beyond what you can imagine. Those times that all the death, when the saints die and they have that testimony over and over, I've heard those statements being said. It's like heaven opens to them in that moment and they say, I see Jesus. You ever heard that? You ever hear one say, oh, I saw something that's beautiful. I've seen the angels. I've seen those things. In that last moment of time, all the OU football or whatever it is that thrills the life of this secular world, it's just a football game. Do you realize what I'm saying? It's only a game. At the end of it, someone loses, someone wins. They go on and play next week. It means nothing. Nothing. There's nothing enduring or lasting about those things. There is nothing enduring or lasting about the secular things that are around us. Do you know that's what they were doing in Noah's time?
Yeah.
The imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. Lost had gone the heritage from Adam and Eve that come down through the time that there is a God to worship. There's a God to sacrifice to. There's a God that's real to life. It had come down, but after a while, the influx of evil and the people's imaginations, and they become totally secular. They only had the value of the things that are around them. Their morals decayed. You see a decaying of the morals of our country? You know why it's decaying like that? It's because the idea of God is leaving the mindset of the people, and secular life is coming in. There is no morality in secular life. It's whatever makes you feel good about yourself, whatever you can do, that's all that there is about it. We have no continuing city, though. It rings in my heart and my mind. I would rather live for the next life than live for this one. That one's eternal. This one's temporal. The things which we see are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They're eternal. They'll last forever and ever and ever. That's what we want to put our hope on. That's what we want to look to. We have to use this world, but not abuse it. We have to have money. We work. We do those things. But we want to set first God and the worship of God, living for God. We want to set that first and build our life around it. Build our life around it. Brother Samuels used to say quite often, if you're too busy to serve the Lord, you're too busy. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy to come to Wednesday night prayer meeting, you're too busy. There has to be a place to where we say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to sacrifice whatever it takes to serve the Lord. I'm going to do it. Because I don't have a continuing city here. It's not about this life. I've got to have something over there. Over in 1 Timothy. Timothy, the sixth chapter. I want to go to the end of this verse, and I want to go back to the beginning. But I want to go to the scripture in the 19th. I'll read from the 18th. It says that they do good, that they be rich in good works,
yes,
ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store,
yes,
for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now I have to say to you, what value, and I'm not just mean to pick on Oklahoma, but what value, what laying up, what foundation would you make if you give yourself to the football world? What value does it give you? This scripture says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation. Laying up for themselves. Laying up what? What he just said. Doing good works. And be rich in good. Did they do good? Be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. Doing what? Laying up for themselves a good foundation. You know what you're doing? The scripture says that. Well, I have to get that scripture. But it's talking about that whatever you do. If you do what the work, you commit yourself to the works and he'll establish your thought. But you give yourself to the work. I got a hold of that one year when I hadn't raised a garden for a number of years, and I thought, you know, I'd like to raise a garden. So I committed myself that I was going to clear some land and plow up, and I was going to do all that. And do you know what I noticed? When I committed myself to doing that, I noticed that my mind was totally on gardening. My mind wasn't on gardening before. But my mind was totally on gardening because I'd committed myself to garden. Well, of course I had to think of seeds and fertilizer and how I was going to plant it, what it took to grow it. All that was in my mind, and so a continual process of that's what my thinking was. And when you start laying up for yourself these things, that's where your mind's going to be. When you start the idea of working for the, that's where your heart's at. That's what your mind is. Your thoughts will be established because that's what you're working for. Do you know that if you set your heart on earthly, secular things, that's where your mind's going to be? I ain't saying it's sinful or evil. Some of it is. But not all of it is. But you know, when you set your heart on that, that's what you're going to think about. That's where your mind's going to be. That's why he said, do these things and lay up for yourself a good foundation. Something that's valuable to you. Something that's going to keep your mind going. Going to be thinking of the Lord. Going to need the Lord. Those kind of things. When I was first saved, especially, first few years of being saved, on a job, you know, I got challenged every once in a while because I worked with religious people. And the religious people would say, well, what do you believe about such and such? And I'd tell them, and they'd say, well, that's just ridiculous. That ain't right. Well, I would always be, well, and then I'd go, and then I'd study, and I'd pray, and I'd find out whether that was right or not. It was always a real challenge to me to look into that. Laying up for yourself, not secular things. The more secular things we had to do,
the more it's going to consume.
Oh, yeah.
Consume our lives. Instead of being like, I think the psalmist said, that he meditated day and night on thy word. Meditating day and night. On what meditating day and night? Is your mind like mine? Are you active when you're awake? Are you always thinking? Are you thinking about something? I'd venture to say, you're thinking about something. What are you thinking about? The next job? The next thing? Nothing wrong with those things. We've got to be in this world. You've got to think to work. You've got to think to do that. But I'll give you this challenge. I read this out of a book, and I believe it was true. A guy said, consider this. When you stop and you can think about anything that you want to, you're not pressured with work. You're not pressured with cooking or house cleaning. But when you sit down in the relaxed time, he said, notice what you think about. Because that will give you a good indication where your heart's at. And did you know what? He was right. When I can think about whatever I want to think about, what do I think about? If I'm reading the scriptures, I'm thinking of the scriptures. If I'm working on the car, I'm thinking about the car. But when I stop and sit and I can think of now of anything, I'm not being asked by the children to do something. Linda's not saying something to me. I'm now relaxed and it's quiet and I can think about whatever I want to think about. Where does my mind go? Does it go in, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done today.
Amen.
Thank you for the words. Thank you for the lessons of the day. Does your mind go into those kind of meditations?
Amen.
Or do they go to the financial columns? I can think of anything I want to now. I'm free to think. Numbers. Oh, I got this much. Interest is this. This is this. I know people that was involved in the stock market.
Oh.
That's where their mind was at. All the time, seeing the numbers. That's what they was doing. All the time. Well, this scripture says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. Folks, we're going to need it. We're going to need a good foundation in time to come. We're going to need the convictions that the Lord's built in our hearts. Not just going along because of going along, but the convictions, the things that God, I'm going to need it against the time to come. I'm going to need some solid places to where I've already said no to the world. No to those things. My sister, I don't think she'd mind me saying this. My sister at one point had a candle business. She was making candles. And she was doing rather good at the time. She was making these candles and selling them and doing it. She was making a pretty good product and people liked them. So they was doing all these candles. And she was doing these, what they call them. It was kind of like parties. And people would buy her candles and all that. And she was doing it and setting them up. And I remember telling her, and I said, sis, you're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged. That you're going to be challenged with having a party that makes up a lot of money on church night. What are you going to do? Well, there's a challenge there. Ox fall in ditches. Things happen. She had a big one. She had a big one planned. Knew she was going to make some money on this one. Woman told her, God, the only day I can do it is Wednesday. Yep. Knew it was coming. Oh, devil's always that way. Things always work that way. What are you going to do now? Would anybody blame her for one time? I mean, she's been a faithful person going to service. What are you going to do? What are you going to do now? Say no. It's only money. It's only money. I'm going to tell you, that's a good place to be. Laying up for yourself. No. I can't be bought. How much money would it take? How much would it take for you to say, start the ball rolling? How much would it take? I'm not here saying there's sin in it or your decisions, but I'm telling you, watch out for the danger because the devil wants to get us into a secular world, making it out like it's the important thing when it's not the important thing. the scripture says, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world? Can you imagine? I ain't gained even a little chunk of the world, hardly. I ain't gained anything around me. But if you could, what would it profit a man? What would it profit me to gain the whole world?
Yes.
Nothing. Because I'm going to have to lay it down. Nothing. I see the nothingness of it.
Amen.
If I had it all, I wouldn't have it for long. Because I'm going to have to lay it down. Whatever I've done, I'm going to have to lay it down. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, I believe that scripture is talking about not in this present world, but after it's said and done. Ask it from that point. After a man has already lived his life and now he's in eternity, now what would he give in exchange for his soul? Because we know the answer here, because people aren't making a good exchange. What would he give for his soul? He ain't interested. But when he gets there, then ask the question. Now what would you give in exchange for your soul? Everything and a hundredfold more. That's what he'd give for his soul then. But you don't have that opportunity. We live in life now. In this sixth chapter of 1 Timothy, it says over in the fourth verse, he is proud, knowing nothing. But dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, envying, surmisings, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. It is not true. Gain is not godliness. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Enough is plenty. Enough is plenty. Having the valuable things of life, having home and family, my soul, to be able to be honest and have integrity, be able to look you, all of you, in the eye, knowing I've done nothing, to be able to have those valuable things, contentment, godliness with contentment, is great gain. It's great gain to be content. Oh Lord, help us to live as low as we need to find the grace of God in our life and to be able to have something more than this, just this secular world around about us. Just secular things and things that aren't important. Whatever you think's important, I'm telling you, it's not important. You can lay your heart on many things. People do. They lay their affections on land, houses, cars, material things. I'm telling you tonight, it isn't worth anything compared to God. There's another story about my sister I like to mention. She used to, when she first got saved, she would drive from Charleston up to Greenbank to go to service. She had a little old car that wasn't dependable, so after a while she ended up being blessed. She got a brand new car. It was a brand new little Nissan. It had a bumper-to-bumper 100,000-mile warranty on it. I thought it was a real nice car for her. And she had that car, and the first camp meeting she went to, a brother backed up and run into that new car. Brother Leslie, that's right. That's the way it goes. But I was interested in something because my sister always said, I just want to get there. It ain't about the car. I just want to go to service. Well, now the test is on. Somebody just run into her car. How's she going to act? Oh, he was apologetic. Oh, he said, I am so sorry. And she said, it's just a car. But I mean, it hit the new car. It's just a car. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I think somebody ended up taking something to pop the bit, put a good dent, popped it out. It was still a little wrinkled a little bit. And she honestly said, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's just a car. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That car has been long gone. Long gone. That thing has probably been shredded and over. It's probably made a bunch of cars by now. It was not valuable. You're going to lose it anyway.
It isn't valuable to us. You know how many conflicts people have over things that don't matter? It really don't matter. Don't you know that loving your brother is more important? Building good works and a good relationship is more valuable than the things that are around you? Lord, help us that we not get wrapped up into those kind of things around us. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Would you give that thing that you fought over? I've seen conflicts between people that was lifelong because of little things. When mom died, that was supposed to be mine. And my sister took it. And I'm not going to talk to her again. Is it really worth it?
No.
Being that that thing is only temporal anyway?
Temporal.
What should we do? I'm going to tell you what I told my dad. My dad has a little property paid for. He's got a house. He's got a building and stuff on it. And I was over there one day, and then he's got another place. And he said to me, he said, Marty, in case anything happens to me, he's going over it. And he said, now this place up here, he said, I want you to have it. And I said, Dad, I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I don't want it. I said, give it to my brother. Well, okay. Then he said, about the house, on 6 acres. He said, Marty, I want you to have it. And I said, Dad, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I don't want it.
Amen.
I don't want to have to take care of it. I don't want to have to be one to sell it. I said, Dad, give it to my brother. I mean it. It's only secular, carnal, temporal things that's going to bind my life up. I don't want the responsibility for taking care of it. I would rather him give it to my brother. Because it's going to bind me up. And I don't want to be bound up. I want to be free that if somebody calls me and says, Brother Marty, we need a minister. We need somebody to come. I want to be somebody that's free. That I don't have no strings, no places caught. That if the Lord says, I want you to go, I can be a minute man for the Lord. Lord, I can go and there's no strings caught back here. Nothing to go. Nothing to tie me back down. The scripture says that a good soldier entangleth not themselves in the affairs of this life. Folks, listen, we're entangled enough. But the more you entangle yourself, the less likely you're going to be able to fulfill what the Lord has you to do. And you know why? The way we do that? We simply get busy and get busy. I am convinced that there is, has been, and there is a number of people that have a blessing on them of the Lord, a capability, a calling on them that cannot get to the use of it because they're entangled by carnal, secular things. And they're not laying up a good foundation against that day, but they continually run headlong, gaining, getting, grabbing, bringing to themselves secular, carnal things. And the Lord wants to be able to speak and say, I want you. Does He not own it all anyway? Can He not give it to us at any point in time that He wants to give it to us?
Yeah.
Well, of course He can. There is another scripture. I'll finish with this thought. There was a man in the scripture that the scripture said he was a rich man. But he must have had some industry. He planted, done all the things that, and it says that the fields of a rich man brought forth plenteously.
Yeah.
What a blessing. Why would you plant and not want it to? If I was going to plant a field, I'd want it to bring forth plenteous, wouldn't you? He did. Okay, brought forth plenteous. And so in the imagination of this man's mind, he said, what am I going to do? For my barns aren't big enough. And I've got all this. I'm going to have to do something. It wouldn't be right not to. You would have wanted to bring it. You'd want to do something with that. You know, the man made some terrible mistakes. He wasn't laying up against that day. He should have been continually laying up against that day. The day that's coming. The day that we're all ultimately going to have to deal with. We may sit here in good health tonight, but I'm going to tell you, it leaves us quickly. Folks, listen to me. Life is not sure here on this earth. Lay up against that day. You may have years. You may have time. You may not, but lay up against that day. The man didn't lay up against that day, but he hoarded. But he made one terrible mistake. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down the little barns that I've got. And I'm going to build big barns. Greater barns. Barns that will hold it all. And then what am I going to do, Brother Leslie? I'm going to say to my soul,
yeah.
Oh, take your ease now.
Take your ease. Eat, drink,
and be merry. You got much laid up for many years.
Yeah.
No doubt there was much laid up for many years. And the barns are going to be full. And in this man's imagination, do you know it was still in the field? It never was harvested. He said within himself, this is what I'm going to do. It's the plan that I've got. Never once did he lay in there the consideration of eternal things. Only secular. Getting, gaining, pulling, bringing fields. Was there anything wrong, evil, about any of that? No, you can't say that it was. But there's something terribly amiss of a man that didn't consider the eternal part.
God said,
then,
this night,
thy soul be required of thee.
Tonight,
in the middle of your plans, in the middle of the easy, all the ideas that you had, how many times have you heard in your lifetime of a person that retires? How many times have they had great ambition of retiring? Going to work for that day of 65 or 67, 63, whatever it is, I'm going to retire. And then, how many times have I heard this? And then, I'm going to travel around to the meetings. Then I'm going to have a certain ease. Now that I'm retired, I'm going to be able to do this, this, and this. How many times? The quickly.
Gone.
Days or weeks after that retirement. The plans are there. Mobile home. Traveling. All this. Oh, we're going to enjoy the life that we never got to do. Always a striving. Always a working. Always a pulling. Always a gaining. And now we're at the age we're going to be able to enjoy these years. Oh, we got years and that. And how many times has the Lord said,
yeah,
this night is thy soul required of thee?
Then who shall those things be?
Whose are they? Where are you going to live? And one scripture even says so much as says that you know not who you're leaving to, whether they be wise or a fool. What are you going to do with all that you can, all that you got, and you lay it to somebody that will use it for everything that you didn't plan on using it for? My dear old grandpa, he was a miser. He hoarded to himself all these things. And when he got to the end of his life, he lived. He wouldn't hardly burn electric. He would pack water. He had running water in the house, and he couldn't stand to hear the pump run because it was running electricity. This man had over $100,000 spread in the different things, and he was so short, he lived with a little old light on, wouldn't even hardly turn the overhead light on. He was so miserly in those kind of things, and you know what happened? He died.
Uh-huh.
And he spread the money out, and you know what they did with that money? His children. You know, the most of them just party big time. Let's do something with the money. And the money was gone. All of that. And he handed it down to wickedness. And you never know what you're going to do with it. Folks, listen. This world is to be used. But not abused. We live here. We're going to have to go through it. And there's nothing wrong with the use of this, the things of this world. But I'm going to tell you something. You better consider your soul. You better consider first the things of your soul. Put that on the priority list. I've got to take care of the eternal things. And we are more and more going to be, the devil's going to try to drag us in to a plain secular life. That's why they don't like to see the nativity scene. They don't like religion. Give me secular things, but not religious. I took an airplane flight, and there was a woman sat beside me, and
She had asked me what I did for an occupation, and I told her that I was a full-time Church of God minister. And she was like, "What's that?" Well, I tried to, in a little bit, explain what I'd done in my life. And she said, "I'm not religious." She said, I'm not religious at all. And I said, "Are you opposed to it?" And she said, "No, I'm not opposed to religion." She said, "As a matter of fact, I'm thankful for religion. Because," she said, "without religion, we're animals." And you know what? I thought that was profound coming from what she said about herself. I thought it was profound. That's what we will become. Do you know the scripture says in the last days, perilous times? You know a part of that perilous times when people would be vicious? They're going to be cruel. They're going to all those things. Do you know that's what a secular mind is going to bring to our country, our world? It will bring out the animal lustful things without check. We can't afford. We can't afford to be secular or carnal. We need the Lord. And we need Him badly. We need to set ourselves for eternal things. This life is just for a moment. It's for a little while. But the better part of our existence is going to be on the other side. We need to get our eyes up. We need to get our eyes up where Jesus is at. He's on the right hand of God, making intercession for us. We need to get our eyes to the eternal world. We need to look above all the praise of this down here. Yeah, it's going to get bad down here, but it ain't bad for me. You know why? I don't live here. I'm only here for a moment. My home's over there. I got a home over there. Been laying up for it. Been living for that. That's what I intend to do, see? That's why when the children come home, that's why I'm in service anyway. I can't afford to let my children keep me from it. You can't afford to let your children keep you from it either. I can't afford to let my neighbors keep me from it. I can't afford to let the devil keep me from my home over there. That's what I intend to do. I want to make heaven my home. The great wrestle, been a wrestle for a long, long time. It's the ancient war between the secular, the carnal, and the eternal, the temporal, and the eternal, or the eternal things. Lord, help us to make that decision tonight. Amen. You pray for me. Yes.